Tommy, good morning to you.
Morning, Pat.
How are you keeping? You minding yourself?
I am. Working behind closed doors at the moment, Pat, but sure, listen, we're keeping the show on the road anyway.
Very good. Fair play to you. Unprecedented times, of course, Tommy, and businesses particularly would and must be, and other businesses going forward will be in the same situation. We have a lot of people closing down temporarily, and hopefully it's just temporarily, but businesses definitely feeling the brunt of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose our first thoughts are with people's health, etc., and to ensure that people are staying safe and healthy. But after that, we have to kind of look at the finances, and our next thought really are at businesses that will be struggling and are closing down as we speak. And it's extremely tough, and it's extremely tough times for those type of businesses, and most businesses will be affected over the next number of months, and probably, you know, this will probably last for years to come for some businesses.
Of course, businesses will be concerned that the government will step up on this occasion, and of course going forward, and hopefully provide some supports for them. What supports are available that we know of at the moment?
Yeah, so as of today, there was a number of supports announced last week. Now, I think they met again last night, and I think they're drawing up further supports in regard to businesses and people that have been let go and that kind of thing. But at the moment, I suppose what we know of is today, I suppose the big one is that there has been a 200 million package for enterprise supports, which I suppose basically it's like a loan scheme available to businesses, you know, through the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland, where you can get a loan of up to 1.5 million, 500,000 of which can be unsecured. There are various other packages there, short-time work support, finance and focus support, which is a grant of up to 7,200 available to Enterprise Ireland and Udo Ross Welster clients to support financial planning. The revenue commissioners have also come in, and they've said that the application of interest and late payments is suspended now. You are expected to still make your returns, but interest on late payments are being suspended at the moment. So things like VAT for January and February, and for February and March, that kind of stuff, they'll still have to be done. But if you're unable to pay, or if cash flow isn't what it should be, they're suspending interest payments on late payments, you know.
So you could actually delay sending back your returns, send back your returns, but you have a small bit of leeway maybe if you need to keep cash flow, send them back a week late, and you won't face penalties. But presumably if you're dealing with an accountant, they'd advise you best on that anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Talk to your accountant. If you're in business, you'll have an accountant, so talk to them. They will know best. They'll have a kind of a direct line into revenue anyway. But yeah, there are some of the things that have come out, I suppose, over the last week in relation to helping businesses, you know.
And of course, the big one we've heard, of course, is the employer COVID refund scheme, where employers, where there are genuine cases where they have to let people go, they get a refund.
Yes, absolutely. So, okay, so this kind of works in both ways. If you've been let go, if you're an individual that's been let go due to the COVID-19 crisis, you know, you are entitled to €203 per week, and that rises to €305 where you've actually been directly infected, whether through isolation or actually contracting the COVID-19. And as an employer, if you wish to keep employees on the books and pay them, that you would be entitled to a refund scheme, again, of up to €203 per week. So that has been very welcome for a lot of employers that want to keep their employees on their books. Now, I think that it's looking like that will be extended today. We haven't seen the details as of yet, but what is going to be announced, it's looking like it's going to be something like what they have in Denmark, where maybe between 70% and 80% of an employee's salary will be paid by the government, with the remainder up to maybe a maximum of 30,000 to 35,000, with the remainder being topped up by the employer. So we'll have to wait and see what happens today.
Okay, and what about supports for borrowers then, people who have mortgages and other repayments?
Yeah, so last Thursday, the Minister for Finance sat down with the five major lenders. And again, they agreed on a three-month moratorium on mortgages. Should you be in trouble, or should you be laid off, or should you be unable to pay your mortgage for the next 3 months? I suppose the big thing there is they need to, and they are looking at making it a lot more or a lot easier for people to actually apply and get this moratorium. I suppose if in the past, if you needed, for some reason or other, if you needed a moratorium on your payments, it was basically like hell. It was hell trying to get it. You had to fill out maybe an 8 or 10 page SFS, a standard financial statement. Now they are streamlining that. This I looked at the Bank of Ireland one there yesterday evening. It seems like it's very straightforward. It's kind of one or two pager that you can fill in online, send it back. But I suppose, listen, the devil will be in the detail, and we'll have to really see how it's working as time goes by.
Of course, in relation to mortgage payments, while the banks will most likely support somebody, you have to apply for it, you have to make a case for it. It's not automatic.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't apply for it, if you don't make a case for it, and you just stop paying, you're going to end up being on the Irish Credit Bureau, and that will affect your credit rating going forward. Now, how it'll affect it, I'm not really sure, because, listen, you know, most people in the country now are going to be affected by this one way or the other financially. So there will be missed payments, there will be missed direct debits, you know, and, you know, there will be very few people that will come out of this unscathed as far as their credit rating is concerned. However, what I would say is, to anyone listening, is that if you find or if you think that you will be in trouble, talk to your bank, talk to your advisor, you know, talk to your accountant, get the best advice, look up and see what supports are available. Don't wait till the last minute to do these things. If you do need to take a payment break, be it on a mortgage or a business loan or a car loan or whatever it may be, talk to the provider and, you know, put the wheels in motion as soon as you can.
Okay, we know that the local enterprise office in Clare does wonderful work, and there are supports available for local businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. So they, you know, again, they will have all, if you contact your local enterprise office, they will have all the details there. You know, there's certain support there for small and medium enterprises, you know, and in fairness to the local enterprise office, they've been excellent in supporting small to medium enterprises in the past, and there will be through this. I suppose one thing to reiterate, and I just mentioned there, if you do apply for a moratorium through your mortgage, whatever it may be, for the next number of months through the bank, that it will not affect your credit rating. So prior to this, if it was a moratorium, you know, due to whatever your circumstances, and nothing to do with the COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic, it may have affected your credit rating, whereas with this, if you apply for it, it won't affect your credit rating.
Moving on, just there are a number of supports, as we were saying, Tommy, for various people, and people who find themselves in difficulty, and a lot of businesses will as well. And of course, the local enterprise office is one of those. You can contact or go onto the Enterprise Ireland website as well. But how are businesses, at the risk of asking the obvious question, how are businesses, for the most part, directly affected? Apart from laying off and stopping production, you know, people management must be an issue as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the biggest risk to businesses is lack of income. So if you close your doors, you don't have people coming in, you don't have the footfall, which means people aren't spending money. So if you take, we'll say, the retail side of things, if you own a clothes shop, you know, to give an example, and people aren't coming in, you're not spending money, so therefore your revenue has ceased. And I think government are going to have to step up in relation to things like rates and that kind of thing, and they're talking about maybe a moratorium on rates where you can put them off. But I think at this stage, really, we need to have some drastic measures in relation to the likes of the fixed costs that businesses are have imposed on them. The things like rates, we're going to have to get the utilities involved, the likes of the ESB and providers like that, because this is going to take a monumental effort. You know, I think it'll be short. I think it'll be 3 to 6 months. But if we don't support businesses, and if government don't support businesses, and I suppose if people don't support businesses when all this is over, you know, this will last a lot longer. So, you know, I think it's all shoulders to the wheel from the top down. I think, you know, if I was to say anything, I think when this is all over, you know, let's go out and go for our meal. Let's go to the pub. Let's go have a staycation rather than going to your Spain and Portugal or whatever when this is all over, and support our local businesses going forward.
And of course, we'd always hope that the local businesses would make it worth our while to stay at home. Even if we can't travel abroad, the concern is that advantage might be taken and that the businesses might try to recoup the losses. Hopefully, it won't come to that. A number of questions coming in, Tommy, as we're talking about the different issues here. And we were talking about bank loans and so forth. Credit union is a different ballgame altogether. Do you know whether there are any supports available for people who have credit union loans that might find themselves in difficulty?
To the best of my knowledge, they weren't involved in the discussions last Thursday with the Minister of Finance. But in fairness to credit unions, they are extremely good to deal with when it comes to these kind of things. And I would say that your best bet there is to contact them, explain your circumstances. And I'm sure they're going to row in behind whatever the other institutions are doing as well. Because at the moment, credit unions do provide mortgages. So I would think, you know, they're going to have to row in, and they will row in, I'm sure, in the same way as the main banks have done as well, you know.
Maybe contact your local branch if you have a query. Another one coming in, and they're coming in hot and heavy, Tommy, I have to say. Jim in Limerick wants to know, I'm not sure whether you can answer this yourself, why are the EBS mortgage company not included in the 3 months moratorium? Do you know anything about
that?
They are,
because EBS is actually part of the AIB group. So AIB would have signed up to this. So yes, absolutely.
Okay.
EBS are.
Jim, double check that, Jim, and let us know in case you find out anything different. Could you also ask Tommy, are deposits in banks safe?
Well, again, so that's the deposit guarantee scheme. So I don't see any effect here. I think we're in a lot better position. Banks are in a lot better position than they were at the height of the financial crisis, maybe 11 years ago. So yes, anything up to €100,000 in a bank account per individual is safe, as in it's guaranteed by the government. Now, I don't see any run on banks. Banks are pretty safe at the moment, albeit, you know, if this was to continue and for longer than kind of 3, 6, 12 months, and people were, and we saw a lot of defaults, then yes, banks would be under pressure, because obviously people aren't repaying loans and that kind of stuff, but I don't see any danger at the moment.
Okay, another one for you, Tommy. And we've deviated from our notes this morning, but the questions are coming in. What about businesses that took out loss or rent cover on their insurance policies and the insurance companies refusing to cover it now?
Yeah, that's a topical one at the moment. So most insurance policies will have loss of earnings cover due to closure. Now, you really need to look at the detail of your insurance policy. So, for instance, I'm just getting it up here in front of me, if you bear with me now, Pat.
Because a lot of people, and I'm sure in County Clare as well, will find themselves, and of course, the devil is in the detail, and you know, people will have to check the small print, obviously, in their own policies. And we have often heard of acts of God and not getting, you know,
that kind of stuff. And really, excuse me. So, like, there's not a one size fits all when it comes to insurance policies. So every insurance policy is different depending on your business, right? However, when it comes to the COVID-19 particularly, right, some policies will have a list of diseases that they will cover in the event of closure, all right, and COVID-19 being such a new phenomenon will probably not be covered. The other thing is then is the outcome. So basically, again, if your office has to close, you know, in general, just for precautionary rather than someone actually contracting the illness,
yes,
it probably won't be covered. However, if someone in your office has contracted the illness, you may be covered. So every policy is different. What I would say is that if there's a massive, what the Insurance Federation is saying is if every insurance policy ends up having to pay out here, that the reinsurers may not pay out. So this is really a grey area. What I would say there is talk to your broker, talk to your insurance provider, check the policy that you have. I would encourage anyone that has insurance for this type of thing to make a claim, but I wouldn't be holding my breath, really, that's being honest.
Okay, there'll be a lot of discussion, I'm sure, in coming weeks and months over insurance policies and the finer detail
yeah,
on
know,
it.
Yeah, and again, the finance minister has been out, you know, criticising insurance companies and that kind of thing. So this will play out, I suppose, over the next number of months. But yeah, I would just be fearful that this is a worldwide phenomenon now, and if insurers end up having to pay out on this sort of stuff, that I think what you'll find is some of them will go to the wall, become insolvent, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think this is, again, maybe somewhere where maybe the government may need to step in and do something in relation to it.
Okay, Tommy, we deviated from the original plan, but we got most of what you wanted to talk about in, and you've answered other questions as well, and we appreciate that. Tommy Corbett from Kerry Corbett. More information from kerrycorbett.com if you have any queries to follow up with Tommy. Tommy, thank you very much indeed for your time. Mind yourself, wash your hands. Thanks very much, Tommy Corbett, our financial advisor on the programme this morning. 0861 800 964, the text number and the WhatsApp number as well.
Morning Focus, in association with Al Hayes Motors, your number one Skoda dealer. Desirable, reliable, affordable. Check out their range at alhaysmotors.com.